cliffcentral.com.
Friday. Wow. Sia is back.
Yay.
Yay.
That could basically be a song, Ben.
And yeah, Sia is back. yes, he is. But he came back, and the first words through the door this morning were, I can't wait to be a house husband.
Yeah.
Folks, you know,
are you that exhausted?
Life sometimes does some other things to you where you could just consider, yeah, I could be having a mimosa without the orange juice right now. Scratch that at 11, you know, I would be asleep right now.
So was your week of being Oprah quite grueling?
Oh my goodness. I'm really actually tired, but very excited to be back on the show. And best believe I will just be recovering and sleeping this entire weekend. It was very, very cool, but it's even cooler to be back.
All right, just recap us again what you were doing when you weren't here doing the show.
So I went down to Cape Town. And Cape Town, you are dry and freaking out with no water. But I think
it rained yesterday.
Yeah, on Thursday. Yeah. Thursday was yesterday. There we go. Started raining yesterday. Everyone was so super happy. But driving around the city and going into the other parts of the Western Cape, I'd like, you know, it was ridiculous. We left our hotel at probably like 5 in the morning as well. So driving around there, we were already freaked out by the rain and we couldn't really see and it was all foggy and misty. But yeah, we had 2 great days and we actually got to experience a lot. And I even got to check another thing off my year of yes.
Oh.
Which I don't know how I feel about, but I went duning.
I'm sorry, what?
Like the sand dunes.
So what exactly do you do?
So
well,
going
you see, Mas, because grass will no longer be a thing in the Western Cape, duning is going to be big. So see us getting in on the lower rungs there.
What does it entail?
Yeah, get into a big wheeled car. So we were in the new Navara and we were like all over the place.
But you went to go help children and stuff.
Did I not say that this is a part of the year of yesing, ticking
this
things off?
This sounds like you went for a bit of a jaw.
There's a big story to this. Thank you very much. So part of the tuning, going all over the place. And they were like, Sia, do you want to drive? I'm like, do you have an automatic? So I was like, no, thank you. So because I was like, ain't nobody got time for that. So that was one part of the trip. Then the other was to go to Langa, which is a township I'd never been to in Cape Town. And lo and behold, like we're there and we're with the community. And, you know, it's this whole program I'm involved with, and someone just casually says, oh, by the way, this is the township where Brenda Feisty's from.
Oh,
exactly. So we're like, oh, really? And they're like, oh yeah, her house is just like around the corner. You're like, what? Okay, well, who's there? Like, you know, is a family still around? They're like, yeah, family's still around. They always love having people. So we're like, okay, you know what this means, right?
We're going for a visit.
Absolutely. So we all like chug on together. We go around the corner. Literally, lo and behold, like it's Brenda Fassie's family house. And how can you not with a South African legend like that?
Mm.
And literally all we had to do was just knock on the door. You're like, hi. And Brenda Fassie's sister walks up to the door, who is the spitting image of her.
Yeah.
And it's just like, hi, we heard this is where Brenda grew up. Can we come in? She goes, sure. Opens the door. Mind you, it's like, what, 8 in the morning. So, you know, this lady's still in like a nightgown with a duke on. But she like, it's a whole squad of us, like 8 of us. She welcomes into her house. We now have like this tour. And it's so, it's like jarring how it's such a, you know, just a normal family house in Langa Township. Mm. But it's not at the same time, because there are all these reminders of like, oh yeah, that's casual. Just a picture of Nelson Mandela and Brenda Fassie. Oh, just another record plaque on the wall of like, you know, the wards, or, you know, these records that Brenda Fassie broke. And she made us sit down. She started telling us all these stories. She wanted to find out about us. The whole time I'm just like trying to sit there getting control of my face, because I'm like this idiot Sears like groaning from ear to ear this entire time. But it's such a cool, crazy experience.
That sounds amazing.
Oh yeah, so like who knows whose house I can just go and knock on now. Just like, cool, if this worked with Brenda Fassie, then you know I can go to someone else's house now. So awesome. Really, really awesome.
Okay, and I can totally understand why you're a little bit tired today, because you seem to have a very, very busy week.
Wow.
You have multitasked.
Multi-citied.
Exactly. Okay, so are you ready for another mini story as well?
Sure. Why not? Yeah, it is Friday.
Mabs, I'm guessing like we're doing very little talking today.
It's Friday. Hey, I'm okay with that.
So listen, you wanted to find out why I've been tired. This is what happened. So, as I land last night, my sister was going to pick me up, and we agreed on that. And, you know, as the airplane taxis and we land and we're allowed to switch our phones on, you know, I start texting her. I'm like, hey, we've landed. And she goes, cool, I'm just where I dropped you off. Not just driving, flying down to Cape Town. I flew from Lanseria Airport. So that is my first thing. I was like, where? You dropped me off, but okay. I'm like, hold up. So does that mean you're at departures? She goes, yeah. But like, just come to the car already. I'm like, okay, hold up. But like, where are you? And I tried to call her and she's not picking up because she was on another call. And I'm like, okay, I'm freaking out now. And I go and collect my bags and I'm walking out and I stand at departures, which doesn't make sense why you'd pick someone up who's arriving at departures. And I don't find her. And it was this whole 10 minutes wait. And finally she answered my call. I'm like, where? She goes like, I'm where I dropped you off. I'm at Lanseria. I'm like, dude, I'm at OR.
Oh, no. Which is not exactly close.
So I'm like, you know what? It's fine. I'm just going to wait it out for like 40 minutes. But then she says, oh, by the way, my battery's about to die. I didn't bring the navigator. I don't have, and then she was in my car, which didn't have any fuel on it. So it had like 2 bars left of fuel, and she's in her pajamas. So now this is like in the afternoon. Now
she
it's like
can't be seen pouring petrol exactly. in her pajamas. So, it's a crime against
humanity.
But also
at the same time, how is she going to pour petrol? Because she doesn't have her card on her. So now I'm like, oh Lord, what are all these services my bank tells me about? And you can wire money there and then she can withdraw it out there. It was at least like a 2.5 hour ordeal of me waiting and for her having to navigate, which included having to befriend some random guy in like Cosmo City. You know, she had to drive through Cosmo City in like these little sleep shorts just to get to me. So listen, that is why I'm saying I'm so happy and glad to be back. It was an adventure, but you know what? We're back and we're ready for the weekend.
Wow, so yeah, that's pretty amazing. Mm. Well, it's good to have you back. It's been a very interesting last 2 days. It's been a lot to get into.
Mm.
If you haven't listened to all the shows this week, cliffcentral.com, go on there. Gareth had some amazing guests, which he's put up there. Yesterday, we had a really great chat to the comedian, magician, all-round great guy, Stuart Taylor. That was cool.
Yeah.
He just came in for a whole hour. We just chatted about his life, his new Big Five comedy show, which you can see up here in Johannesburg over the Easter weekend. But yeah, it's been a good week. And Gareth, this is his last day away from the show, so to speak. He's in transit. So I think he gets back to South Africa tonight or tomorrow morning. I'm not entirely sure, but again, he'll be back Monday. So Monday, everything will be back to normal. You'll hear less of my voice.
Oh, no.
More of Gareth's.
Sidebar, do you think Stuart should just have another child for the sake of, so that he can name the child Chuck?
Chuck Taylor.
Sorry. You guys didn't think about that the entire interview.
No, could have asked him that. This is why you are needed.
Thank you. This is the amazing intellect that I bring. But also so much going on in the news over the past couple of days as well.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in the world of Twitter, unfortunately. When everyone can have their say, sometimes they say things that are going to get them in hot water. So, look, we might as well start with it. Oh, Helen. Now, yay. Just to put it into perspective here, I'll read the tweets that are causing so much fire. To Helen's credit, which no one is saying those words today or yesterday.
Yeah, I'm already...
Yeah, nobody really wants to be seen or heard to be, like, defending her in any way, shape, or form. It's just not... It's not wise to do that currently.
In fear of being burned at the stake, no one is using the words in Helen's defense. But I will say, she hasn't deleted the tweets. Obviously, she's trying to stick by her guns and what she said.
Well, it would be pointless to delete the tweets.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, people always do that,
you
right?
know, in the era of screen grabs, it would be a completely pointless thing to do.
So, this is how it starts, right? She's talking about colonialism. Now, this is the thing that why I want to read her tweets, because yesterday I heard passing conversations that Helen was a fan of apartheid and she says that all blacks are this and that. You know how these things work. It's like broken telephone plus black Twitter equals basically we're all going to die. These things get out of hand very, very quickly. So her original tweet goes like this. Other reasons for Singapore's success. Parents take responsibility for children and build on valuable aspects of colonial heritage. No, I'm not sure where. Okay, so wait. Singapore had no natural resources and 50 years ago was poorer than most African countries. Now they saw. What are the lessons? I think Singapore lessons are meritocracy, multiculturalism, work ethic, open to globalism, English, future orientation. Okay, so what she's basically going on, she didn't just wake up one morning and go, you know what? I'm going to have a bit of a brain fart. I'm just going to basically say Cecil John Rhodes and I were homies. It's not kind of what she was getting at. She was talking about how we can learn from lessons from a place like Singapore. I've been to Singapore. It's quite a fascinating place. And again, it was just this island of nothingness. It was pretty crappy. But now, 50 years later, it's seen as a first world kind of power. And it really is quite incredible. Again, let me put an asterisk to this. I in no way supporting Helen's. No, screw it. Think what you want. So this is how it starts, just to kind of give you some perspective of where these comments came from. So what she was going on to say is that other reasons, sorry, this one. For those claiming legacy of colonialism was only negative, think of independent judiciary, transport infrastructure, piped water, etc., etc. Would we have transitioned into specialized healthcare and medication without colonial influence? Just be honest, please. Now, look, it's a bold, like it's difficult to comment on this because whenever things happen like this, I believe you've got to look at two sides, right? Firstly, colonialism, where we've spoken about in the show. Remember, I did a feature about that guy from Belgium who basically just raped the Congo for rubber. Colonialism has a long and storied history of how it just plunders, extracts everything, and leaves Africa in ruins, which is what Africa has been. It's been one of those, it's just been the forgotten story of riches raped, and the legacy is just not great. So we've spoken about it many, many times. What Helen's doing here is that she's trying to find other ways of making the country great, in my opinion. So that's two sides, right?
Okay.
I mean, you guys can jump in any stage. I'm just trying to present what this whole thing is about before we get too irate. Because, again, we spoke about this how many times in the show? Free speech, right?
Uh-huh.
People shouldn't be told to shut up. Just comment or engage or hate them, whatever. No one should ever be told, delete your accounts, bury yourself alive, all that kind of stuff. We get nowhere when that's the conversation here. So that's what she's getting at. But again, it's like, Is it a time in Helen's life where this is what she should be throwing out there? Because the DA battles with some identity from time to time, right? We live in a world of identity politics.
Mm.
Is this the wisest thing that she could have thought at her position? If she wants to engage on the colonial topic, right, and what we can get out of it, there, that's a conversation point. Go have it. Is this the forum? Definitely not.
That's the thing.
Is she expecting anything positive out of this? You can't be this naive. Because
this is not her first trip, you know.
Can you imagine
rodeo?
Like windbags, like Eusebius Mackayzie yesterday reading this and he probably exploded in the studio with happiness because now he's got content for years. He could probably write another book about Run, Helen, Run or something like that. There's people all just going to take this and they can run with it as what was happening yesterday. Helen then trended on Twitter. She was seen as this racist. Musi Mamani had to then quickly get out there and say, at no stage do we support colonialism. It was an evil, blah, blah, blah. And then Helen had to then apologize for these tweets. But then I dug a little bit deeper. So then I saw what Steve Hoffman was talking about, okay? Because, you know, he would be like, yeah, Helen, colonialism was a good thing. Something along those lines. And then you start seeing people from the other side of the spectrum. Like, I find this fascinating how humans can be so different.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying that we must be looking at colonialism and be appreciative, because there's obviously various aspects of that which were just dreadful. And this is like world over how this has happened. But it's just fascinating when you get a topic that gets people really riled up. It's amazing the insights that spring forth. So if you've got a little bit of time today, I recommend you do this. It's better than just throwing hate. Whether you believe it is founded or not, it's always better, I think, to go and just find some facts and actually understand what colonialism is, understand how we've suffered, and in Helen's terms, understand what it has given us. It's fascinating.
Well, what Helen forgets is that these so-called wonderful infrastructures that colonialism brought with it are still not accessible to the majority of people in this country. So it goes back to that whole question of, well, you know, it was rooted in benefiting only a few.
Yeah.
And to this day, the majority of people still can't benefit from these so-called wonderful structures that were implemented.
Yeah, so, I saw a fantastic tweet of someone took a picture of a township and then they said, you know, because the whole thing about piped water, roads.
Piped water,
kind of
roads, and all that stuff, healthcare.
Yeah.
What? These people don't have medical aid that affords them the luxuries of private hospitals. They have to go into government hospitals that are an entirely different picture and scenario altogether.
Exactly. So this tweet was, so I guess colonialism hasn't got to this township yet.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the thing.
But again, guys, we have to have these conversations. So, I mean, I still think it's stupid of Helen to try to think Twitter's going to be this great platform where she can get a high five from someone for going through history and trying to find nuggets of positivity. But still, we have these conversations. We learn from this. We get better. This is what history always teaches us. I'm a firm believer of that. But I don't think any good can come out of saying to Helen, go kill yourself or die or delete your account.
But even before that, how, though, after so much, does she still think, you know, a platform such as Twitter and saying such is going to go down well?
What was her best case scenario? You reckon, in her head yesterday,
how
does she think this is going to go down? You know what? I'm going to tweet this stuff, okay? And then basically, I'm going to get a whole bunch of people going, Helen, never thought of that.
Everyone, the majority of people are going to side by me. They're going to see things and they're going to agree. It's going to be great today. And I'll have a cup of tea in the afternoon. No, it's not going to go down well. And I'm really not poo-pooing what she's saying. I'm really not trying to say that she should shut up. But I do think, you know, it's the good old cliche, with great power comes great responsibility. If you really feel that this is something you have to say, why not? You know, you've written a book before, start a blog about this, Helen's thoughts, go on and have an actual interview, whether it's radio or TV, for people to hear your tone,
totally agree.
You to interact with someone who differs, who has an opinion that differs to yours, so that there can be a constructive conversation. But right now, when it isn't a bit of a sensitive issue, and you just put your thoughts out there, you know, it just seems like you are screaming this out into the world, and that's how people react. You know, great power comes great responsibility.
But she's also, there are obviously a ton of people who don't like Helen Ziller. And
well, there's that too, exactly.
You know, when you then go onto Twitter, people who already don't like you, you're just giving them more ammunition by saying dumb shit.
Yeah.
She says ever so eloquently.
Yeah, but
yes,
I mean, look.
It's the truth, though.
You guys are so right.
You are setting yourself up further. I mean, stop it now. Unless you like that kind of attention.
Well, exactly. And I don't think she does. And at her stage right now, I don't think there is. I mean, the DA as an opposition party, they need all this sort of good cred as far as getting the right sort of message out there to potential voters. And when I say potential voters, people who historically back the ANC, because that's the only way things are going to turn, right? So stuff like this, this is just poor planning. Strategically, because politics is strategic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game of chess in life. This is just, can you imagine wasting my money going, okay, Twitter, okay, Sundowns, oh, drop points again. What? Hang on, Helen, what the hell is this?
So Musi then said yesterday, let's make this clear. Colonialism, like apartheid, was a system of oppression and subjugation. It can never be justified. And so now the DA have decided that Helen is going to have to account, and so they're going to put her through a disciplinary hearing.
Sure, but this is why I wanted to bring this up this morning. So if you've got any views on this, feel free to get involved. WhatsApp 079-748-2090. Otherwise, on the WeChat Cliff Central official account, because we can debate this whole colonialism thing. We can debate the pros and cons of having a potentially a high-level debate on Twitter, potentially having a mass-level debate on Twitter, whoever it may be. This is now giving the DA, again, we spoke about right now the ANC are in the spotlight for doing a lot of like dodgy things, right?
Yeah.
But now they're going, oh, Helen, thank you. Jeepers, that's it, Helen. No more rude paintings about your vagina ever again. We love what you're doing for us.
I did see that picture did make a comeback on Twitter yesterday.
Of everything.
Just when you thought it was that was it. Helen's vagina came back yesterday in a big way.
Gosh.
So now the DA has got this really difficult thing to deal with. What do we do? Because people are saying, oh, let's get rid of Helen Zille. She's a racist. She must get out of the party. And then Wissi Mamani's trying to just damage control the hell out of this.
Do you know, and I really don't mean any offense to this whatsoever, but this case reminds me of that senile, inappropriate family member you have.
Yeah.
At like family functions, and you as the younger, you know, as like maybe the head of the house, has to now keep in check. Like, Gran, you can't say that.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, it's 2017. You can't be calling people, you know, you can't call black people the K word. Gran, sit down. You know, and you always have to try and sort of keep them in the background because that's what it is. Moose is probably like, oh, Helen. You can't be saying
Gran, you can't pick me up with like your sweatpants on.
You know? Hey, that's too close to her. Pajama pants, sweatpants, too close.
Yeah, but unfortunately, like these are realities that they're now going to deal with. And again, you've just got to have a united front, I guess. Like, if you are going to be in politics or anything, really, even just family stuff, business stuff, you can't have people just sounding off like this. But that's why I think that, I mean, this happens so often in sport, right? You get people who think, yeah, you know what? I'm actually going to talk about this world issue right now. And then they're completely blundered because people aren't qualified to talk about certain things, and they get lambasted, they get roasted, and it's just such a, and then people say, oh yeah, Twitter should be banned, it's terrible, people in sport should not be using Twitter.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so well, I guess your day is going to be better than Helen's today. There's nothing else than that. It is Friday. We got a whole bunch of really cool things to get through in the show today. There'll be no Gareth. Gareth will be back on Monday, just to remind you that. But he does have an interview with Andre, the hilarious hypnotist.
Oh.
Now, Andre's been a hilarious hypnotist for probably as long as I've been a human being.
Jeez.
I mean, we're going to find out about this in the third hour here. That guy has been hypnotizing people. He's been making people laugh at their expense for forever and ever. And I think we all need a good laugh today, like any other Friday. And of course, see us back. He's got some new stories. I haven't themed the music today because, well, it's Friday.
Oh.
I'm just going to play songs that make me feel happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds fair. Right. It's almost time for the news. But before we get into that, I found something really funny, which again, I want to share with you, that Adam ruins everything guy. Lauren on Twitter said, you guys must really look into the drunk history. So there's an entire channel called Drunk History where things of history are then told by drunk people.
Oh, dear.
In a very sort of matter of fact, this is how things are kind of way.
So,
yeah, it's really cool. But before we get into the news, I'm going to just tell you a little bit about orange juice. Maybe just depress you a bit about orange juice. How about that?
Juice commercials would have you believe that every sip comes right from the tree.
I've really got to get the hang of this.
I'm like,
Brenda Fassie.
Orange juice and Brenda Fassie.
Brenda Fassie came out of nowhere. You know, people say this voice is in my head, this voice is in my laptop. Anyway, like I was saying, so orange juice, right?
Juice commercials would have you believe that every sip comes right from the tree.
Right. Orange juice is totally natural. Look, there's a straw right in the orange. It's like I'm drinking straight from the fruit.
Man, you really are gullible.
Yeah?
Even not from concentrate orange juice is just as processed as any other mass market food. Orange juice has an extremely short shelf life, so to stop it from spoiling, manufacturers extract all the oxygen from the juice.
Oxygen removal complete.
But that process also removes all the orange flavor.
It just tastes like sweet.
Right. So manufacturers artificially jam it back in by using flavor packs.
No, that can't be natural.
It's not. The taste that you know as Tropicana, Florida's Natural, or Minute Maid was actually designed in the same lab that makes perfume for Calvin Klein and Dior. Oh, citrusy. The trick is, since the flavor packs are technically made of orange byproducts, they don't have to write artificially flavored on the label. But they are.
Well, if it's all oranges, who cares?
Yeah, flavor packs aren't bad for you. They're just super interesting.
Well, great.
What's bad for you about orange juice is the sugar.
What sugar?
Kind of a strong reaction. You didn't know this? OJ is loaded with it. An 8-ounce glass of Tropicana contains 22 grams of sugar. That's almost as much as a Pepsi, which makes sense since Tropicana is owned by Pepsi.
Well, how about that, huh?
Yeah.
Adam is ruining everything for us. But yeah, everyone just knows that there's so much sugar in fruit juice nowadays. It's
oh,
just crazy.
It is such a scam. There is actually no such thing as 100% juice unless you're juicing it yourself at home in your machine.
Yeah. So if you pick up a juice box or whatever and you go, oh, how long does this thing last? And it says there, good until July 2018. Okay. There's no oxygen in there. There's just flavorants and there's just sugar. But hey, you didn't get that from me. I'm pretty sure everyone knows that by now.
There's sugar and everything. There's starch and everything. There's gluten. Oils and every... Oh, goodness. No, just eat, folks.
Anyway, we are talking about healthy stuff. Today's news is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Nothing but the freshest ingredients, the best pizzas, pastas, salads. You can get good food still out there. And with Colcacchio Pizzeria, that's exactly where you need to go tonight to make it happen. Mumps, what's going on in the Friday news? That is, of course, the official news flute of the world. You blow that, news will come your way.
Absolutely. Well, the president, Jacob Zuma, dodged a call for a commission of inquiry into the social grants debacle. And he has, quite frankly, distanced himself from allegations that his lawyer was involved in talks, secret talks apparently, about the payments contract. Now, the president also deflected questions about whether he planned to take action against Social Development Minister Bathabile Dlamini, saying that it's a funny democracy to punish someone if you suspect they're about to commit a crime. Those were the president's words. Zuma used the same argument to defend the ANC deploying former Eskom CEO Brian Molefe to parliament, despite allegations against him contained in the Public Protector's State of Capture report. So I'll just say that again. The president said, it's a funny democracy to punish someone if you suspect they're about to commit a crime.
So he's never seen Minority Report with Tom Cruise then?
Oh, no, I don't think he has.
See, yesterday we're talking with Justice about things that Jacob Zuma watches to formulate his ideas.
Uh-huh.
Game of Thrones and 300 were basically the two candidates.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As we know,
yep.
Not a big Tom Cruise fan, okay?
Yeah. Okay, and then Minister in the Presidency, Jeff Radebe, he says that Cabinet has not discussed the possibility of disciplinary action being taken against Bathabile Dlamini. He says the interministerial task team, which was established a few days ago, is looking into all matters which are related to the SASSA crisis. This is what Minister Jeff Radebe had to say. The cabinet did not specifically discuss the conduct of the Minister of Social Development in the last meeting of the joint committees of cabinet. That's when the decision was taken to establish a task team. But here's the thing. Bathabile Dlamini has apparently been included in this task team that is going to be investigating the SASSA matter. And so when he was asked, but isn't this strange to include the very person that needs to be investigated in the task team. Khatebe said there is no conflict of interest with the Minister of Social Development being part of the team because we require all the information we can get, and it is important that she is in this team. Okay.
I saw probably the meme of the year. Butterbeer Damini was standing with a bottle of Grant's whiskey, looking quite Pooza yesterday on Pooza Thursday.
Right.
And the caption was, the only Grants that our ministers involved in.
Oh dear. Yeah, people really do like to have fun around the, you know, the alleged drinking problem that she has.
But once there's a little bit of dirt and a lot of profile around you, that's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can you not, though? Because this is the only way you can really deal with it, but just making light and laughing at the ridiculousness of the entire situation.
Yeah. And then in a little bit of international news, a teenage student opened fire yesterday at a high school in southeast France, injuring three people. Sounds very American, including the headmaster, in an attack which was carried out after he watched American-style mass shooting videos. Oh, well, there you go.
See, that's just what we were talking about the other day.
Yeah. Wait, what were we talking about the other day?
Crimes inspired by movies.
Oh, yes. The incident, which does not appear to be linked to terrorism, comes with France on high alert after more than 230 people were killed in the past 2 years by attackers allied to the military group Islamic State. There's also a presidential election less than 6 weeks away. The attack by the 17-year-old armed with a hunting rifle seemed likely to further stimulate debate on security and fears of terrorism, which are among big issues, big talking points in France. So, yes, this young man on school opens fire. Three people injured. Okay.
That's just, okay. I hope it doesn't spark a trend now in France as well.
And then two federal judges have temporarily blocked American President Donald Trump's travel ban.
Is he still trying to push this thing?
Oh, yeah.
Jeepers, he's like a constipated man in the toilet with this thing. He's not leaving until he's got it.
No. And he must win, Ben. Donald Trump is the kind of person who likes to win, so he will keep pushing until he wins. He'll have to get past these federal judges, though, who have temporarily blocked his efforts. Both of these judges citing Trump's statements about Muslims during the presidential campaign as part of their rulings. A ruling by a federal judge in Hawaii resulted in a temporary restraining order nationwide hours before it was set to go into effect. And then in a decision which was published yesterday morning, another federal judge in Maryland specifically blocked the 90-day ban on immigration for citizens of six Muslim-majority countries. Now, Trump decried the ruling during a rally in Nashville earlier this week. He said, "And I will not stop fighting for the safety of you and your families. Not today, not ever. We are going to win it." In it to win it.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. guy.
Just sometimes we really don't have to say anything.
Yeah, because there isn't anything left to say. It's like you can see what he's trying to do. Again, look at both sides, what he's trying to get at, what's happened in the past, how he's trying to formalize it. Yeah, but it's just he's just got a way about him which just makes things difficult sometimes.
Yeah, he's got that thing, a different kind of thing, but a thing.
Not a good thing.
A thing nonetheless, though.
All right, is that all we have for the news headlines?
Yep.
Okay, brought to you today by Colcacchio Pizzeria. It's Friday, get on down. You deserve a good pizza, or if you want a nice pasta or a fantastic salad, you know you're getting the best of the ingredients, the freshest ingredients, made with a smile. Got to say, I always get good service there as well. It is time for the sports, and there's just lots and lots to get to there. But I must bring up the theme tune. It's all about theme tunes this week. Damn it, I've lost it again.
Oh, no, Ben.
No, there it is. Come back.
There
we
go.
Oh, relief. What's so looking forward to doing sport without having to pull up my own theme tune. It's going to be so much easier. It's going to be brilliant. I can't wait till Monday. Right, so in the cricket, Themba Bavuma and Quinton de Kock, well, they saved the Proteas this morning. 94 for 6. Umla got bugger all again. Dumini got bugger all again. Faf du Plessis, really, yes, he failed, but he failed this morning. So those two got together, and well, the Proteas are now suddenly going from a position of absolute weakness to, well, they've got a bit of an innings lead. They're currently 303 for 9. New Zealand got 268 in that first innings. They've got a lead of 35 runs. Unfortunately, though, de Kock and Bavuma, neither of them kicked on to a century. They both played so bloody well. Themba Bavuma, he's just showing the guys, he's got so much substance, this kid. And unfortunately, out for 89, and de Kock was out for 91. But Vern Flanders doing well, 25 and out, and more and more calls there at the crease as well. So a small lead for the Proteas. And, well, you got to think, when you win the toss and put the other team into bat, this is what you want. You want some sort of a lead. Australia, well, this is a big surprise. Known for not always wanting to pick their strongest team for whatever reason, they brought in Glenn Moneyball Maxwell. Now, he does not have a test half century to his name. He's been kind of brought in because he can sort of bowl off spin and he can sort of bat a little bit in limited overs cricket. Well, look at that. He's on currently 99 not out. He's having the game of his life. Smith's there at 124 not out. Australia at 324 for 4. And this, of course, the series is 1-1 at the moment. So this is a real big deal. If Australia can win this one, take the stuffing out of the Indians, and then it's all into that fourth test. Bloody interesting this is, I must say. It's going to be a great weekend of test cricket because these are two very contrasting matches. Although the pitch is flattening out in New Zealand, there is something for the seamers, where, of course, this pitch will just deteriorate in India and become a spinner's delight. So test cricket, that's what you got to look forward to. All early stuff, of course, because New Zealand is far in the east, so that game will take place from 11:30 onwards every night, and then cricket in India from 6 a.m. South African time. But you've come for the rugby, have you not? It is a huge rugby weekend, so huge. Let's start with the Super Rugby today. 8:35, Crusaders versus the Blues. Got to think Crusaders are going to take that one. Then it's the Rebels versus the Chiefs. The Rebels have no hope in hell with this one. They've taken two absolute thrashings so far. They had a bye last week, whereas the Chiefs, they're currently unbeaten, looking really, really, really strong. So 10:45, you can look out for that one. And then tonight, the Bulls versus the Sun Wolves. Now, the Bulls have had a terrible start to Super Rugby. Two losses, then a bye. Sun Wolves, well, they did okay last week against the Cheetahs, but ultimately they're going to lose this one as well. But can the Bulls really sort of run rampant here? This is the big question. I'm guessing it'll be about a 20-point win. There's some big names coming back for the Bulls, and hopefully a few people will go actually watch this game. It really has. Ever since the days of Victor Matfield's flowing locks have exited Loftus, nobody seems to be wanting to go watch the rugby there anymore.
At any point did these people have their hair pulled in those scrum things that they do?
Well, Victor always wore a scrum cap. Generally, if you've got long hair, you try to put it into a cap because it will happen.
Yeah, I can imagine long hair can be very hazardous if you're a rugby player.
George Smith from Australia once had a dreadlock pulled out of his head. he had dreads once, and you're playing against SA, and he was always the guy who was like hardcore in the rucks. He would always be trying to steal the ball in the thick of things.
Yeah.
And he felt a slight pain, and then there it was. Someone just pulled the dreadlock off. Yeah, take that. So tomorrow, Hurricanes versus the Highlanders. So you always know that whenever there's New Zealand derbies and Super Rugby, you've got good games to look for. Hurricanes, Highlanders are going to be great. Hurricanes, obviously, just the stronger team right now. So looking for a win there for them. Waratahs versus the Brumbies. This is probably the toughest one to call the whole weekend. The Waratahs, on paper, you would say, is a better side. But they've just had a horrible tour of SA where they took a double clap. Clap by the Lions, clap by the Sharks. They then had to fly back. And all the way back to Sydney, it was a very long flight. So now they take on the Brumbies at home. Going to think the Waratahs slightly edgeless one, but really is a bit of a coin toss result-wise. Then the Lions take on the Reds. Now the Lions sent a weakened team to Shakawala's country last week and back to full strength this week against the Reds. And they should really run rampant here. The Sharks versus the Kings. Sharks trying with a more experimental team this week because the Kings are crap. But they will still win that one. That's 7:30 SA time. And then the final game of the weekend will be the Jaguars versus the Cheetahs. Jaguars at home, much better than Jaguars away. And they always seem to keep the people on the field when playing at home too. So back the Jaguars there. On to the Six Nations. So as you know, the Six Nations has been decided already. England have won it because they're the best team there. Scotland, well, they were looking okay, and then they got hammered. And Wales and Ireland, well, not as good as they used to be, right? But the important thing here for this game is that it's back to the world record chase. England set it last week with, sorry, they joined it last week with New Zealand. So they both have 18 uninterrupted wins in international rugby, which is really great. Now they've got a chance to beat Ireland, and with that, the 19th win. So they'll just be breaking new ground. It is in Ireland. It is St. Patrick's Day. There's going to be a whole bunch of drunk Irish people just shouting and cheering. So it's going to be very, very tough for England to do this. If you do look at the records, that people are going to obviously debate this. I'm going to tweet out how New Zealand got their 18 wins, and I'm going to tweet out how England got their 18 wins, and you can judge which was the stronger one. Got to think, actually, England have had a tougher way of getting to these 18 wins. I know they play games at home, and we don't have to travel too much because Six Nations is really tight. But this England team is very, very special, and I think they're going to go on to win this game on Saturday, and they really do deserve all the credit they get. And it's going to make for such an incredible matchup when they do play New Zealand. And it looks like the World Rugby people are trying very hard to make this game happen next November. More on that when it happens. So that's your cricket, that's your rugby, football. So the Premier League's back on. There's been all kinds of things obviously happening in cups and Champions League, all that kind of stuff. Chelsea are still very much on top. They lead Spurs by 10 points. Okay, then we've got Man City in third, also by 10 points. Then we've got Liverpool in fourth, they're a further point back on 11. And then Arsenal on fifth, 16 points back. And if you go even further back than that, well, you're trying to make conversation. So the big games for the weekend, that would be this window here. Yeah, there we go. Premier League. West Brom are hosting Arsenal tomorrow at 2:30. West Ham will host Leicester at 5. Leicester are, of course, the only team left in the Champions League, but they're still not completely away from the relegation zone. If they had a little dodgy wobble here, they could go right back into it. Stoke will host Chelsea at 5. Everton versus Hull at the same time. And then Sunday is some interesting matches. Middlesbrough, who are really battling that relegation chop right now, they'll take on Man United at 2 o'clock. Spurs, without Harry Kane, will then take on Southampton at 4:15. And then Man City versus Liverpool. That's the big one there. I mean, none of these teams can catch Chelsea, but they'll obviously just try, you know, pay lip service to it like they can. That game at 6:30. In the PSL for the weekend, IS Cape Town versus Free State Stars at 8 o'clock tonight. Then Bloem Celtic versus Cape Town City at 6 tomorrow, along with Baroka FC versus Kaizer Chiefs quarter past 8, and then Sunday Highlands Park versus Maritzburg United at 3:30. When their Bank Cup draw took place yesterday for the top 16, none of the real big teams are playing against each other, so no massive surprises or shocks there. In the Champions League draw, that will take place today, so I'll recap you on that on Monday. That is pretty much it for the sport. There's obviously the Arnold Palmer Invitational taking place at Bay Hill. Emiliano Grillo and Matthew Fitzpatrick are leading there on 5 under. That is the only big goal for the weekend. And then finally, UFC news. Dana White. Now, Dana White is the president of UFC. And basically, he was seen as the only obstacle between McGregor taking on Mayweather. So this fight was never going to happen because White was saying, well, McGregor's got a contract. He's not going to suddenly go box when he has to fight in the UFC. But he says now this week that there's so much money in this fight, of course it's going to happen. Obviously going to happen. So I think Dana White sort of went to the boardroom table and said, cool, Conor, you can go and fight whoever the hell you want. You're going to give me X million dollars. Because he can. Like, there's so much. They are saying this is a potentially $1 billion fight.
Jeez.
So Dana White's going to get a cut here. He's going to get a pretty decent cut. And then with that, he obviously then had the token vote of support for Conor McGregor, saying it is going to be a boxing fight, but it's not going to be a mismatch. Conor McGregor will be able to box, and he will be able to knock Floyd Mayweather out. Yeah. Glowing recommendation from a guy who's about to suddenly become very much slightly richer, because he's already hugely rich.
Stupidly rich,
yeah. But hey, people love watching other people hit each other. They have done since someone clenched a fist for the first time. We humans are simple. Right, so Lucas Palesa production team, is Anthea ready to go? There it is, the coverage of the thumbs up. So it's time for your finance. And it's also time for... Damn it. It's like I need an extra hand. Stop playing. Yeah, so it's time for finance. Anthea wasn't with us yesterday, but she's back now. And with that, she'll get her theme tune. And because it's a Friday, she'll get this theme tune.
Ooh. This really is the Friday version.
Oh yeah. You want to know how the Rand's doing? You want to know how your stocks are doing? You want to know how big businesses are conducting themselves? Well, you've come to the right place. Yeah, I don't think we played that one before. It's quite a good one.
And it's perfect, Ben, because it really is party mood. I think we had our best day of the year yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So a couple of things. First of all, the market was up 2%, and quite a few shares you'll see rallied hugely. $4.4 billion worth of shares changed hands yesterday. Of course, that was mostly because it was futures and options closeout, which happens once a quarter.
Okay.
And then the Rand has had its strongest, was at its strongest level in 1.5 years yesterday. So I'm sure that Saleha would have told you that the US Fed raised interest rates by 0.25% on Friday evening, which normally would be positive for the dollar. But actually, Janet Yellen pretty much said that they were going to be tolerant of inflation. And so whereas before market participants were thinking there might be a fourth rate hike this year, they were pricing at about a 25% chance, I think she pretty much took that off the table. So the risk on trade was back. People were buying yielding assets, dollar weakened, bonds, commodities, everybody just piled into them yesterday. And then in addition, yesterday morning, the People's Bank of China, the China Central Bank, they raised interest rates by 10 basis points, which doesn't seem a lot, but for them, kind of, it's enough. And they were just so much more communicative than before, like kind of telling us that it's a show of strength in the economy. I think what they're trying to do is maintain the interest rate differential between the U.S. and China, because you know that investors will go to higher yielding assets. And so they really are just wanting investors to buy Chinese bonds. That's kind of, I mean, I'm making it very simple. I'm simplifying it hugely, but basically that's it. And then the Bank of England yesterday left rates unchanged, which was expected, but the pound spiked because we had a bit of an anomaly there yesterday. They've got an outgoing policymaker, one of their MPC members, a woman called Kristen Forbes, and she unexpectedly voted for a rise in interest rates in the UK. And it's the first time since last year that the vote was not unanimous. And I think what she was saying was, well, actually, the UK economy is doing particularly well despite Brexit. The pound is kind of holding its own. The stock market is at all-time highs. Maybe it is time for an interest rate hike. So, of course, everybody was out buying the pound. There was lots of volume going on there.
Okay.
And then back home, stronger commodity prices, stronger rand meant that our resource companies rallied, financials and retailers as well on the stronger rand. Anglo American was up 6.5% yesterday. And I mean, I think that was a combination of the stronger commodity prices, but also there's a report out that an Indian billionaire, and I don't know how to pronounce his name, Anil Agarwal, is planning to buy a stake in Anglo American for £2 billion. And that'll give him a stake of 13%, making him the second biggest shareholder after the PIC, which is the guys who manage the government pension fund. I think that's they own 14.4%. I think that's a really good thing because it almost takes away the politics a little bit from the mining or the resource companies, because he doesn't care about South African politics. He wants to make it a commercial venture. He wants to make sure the company makes profits. I mean, last year he did actually make a bid for Anglo American, but was rebuffed. And this time he's come out and said, well, last year he wanted a merger. This time he's come out and said, well, actually, I don't want to merge the companies. Potentially, there could be synergies, but that's not what I'm looking for. I believe this is a good company, a good investment. They're putting it in their family investment company called Fidanta. So it remains to be seen what he's going to do, but I think it plays very well into this potential kind of that we're all speculating that Anglo-American South African assets will be spun out of Anglo-American Global. And so, yeah, not a bad thing. Of course, Kumba, because it's also partly owned, well, I think majority actually owned by Anglo-American, also was up 10% yesterday. So we had a nice little boost from Indian billionaire Anil Agarwal yesterday.
Okay.
And then our very own Patrice Motsepe's African Rainbow Minerals released pretty decent set of results yesterday. Headline earnings per share was up 234%. Very strong cash flow. Decreased their net debt by 17%. So they're now in a debt to equity ratio of 15.4%. The share was up 11% yesterday. Now, I mean, somebody said, you know, is it because of commodity prices running? Well, actually, it's not. It's actually divided by sector. So the ferrous metals, the iron ore, manganese and chrome, those sectors of African Rainbow Minerals did particularly well, whereas the gold, platinum, copper segments were really just above break even. And then the other thing that they did last year is that they sold a mine called Dwars Refiew, which was generating 421 million rand of earnings. But they sold it when the iron ore price was about 30% lower than where it is now.
Ouch.
And actually, so, I mean, this is just hindsight, right? 2020. And so actually where the iron ore price is now, they sold it at a PE of 1, which is the cheapest I think anyone's ever bought any asset for.
Cheapest. That's when you just hope you can forget about things and move on.
Yeah, I think management were pretty much like that. I mean, they were just like, oh, how did we ever know? How were we going to know? So I think African Rainbow Minerals is looking cheap if the iron ore price stays where it is at $90 a ton. You know, it's quite a leveraged play. And so I think if you wanted to buy the share, now's the time to buy it in the hope that iron ore will stay at 90. But I think you need to watch the iron ore price quite carefully. There's no real reason it should stay at 90 or should even be at 90, but it is. And so if China keeps producing good GDP growth numbers and demand keeps up, then obviously it'll stay there. I mean, I think on the cost curve, iron ore probably should trade closer to $60 a ton. Mm-hmm. So let's take advantage. If you want, take advantage of the higher iron ore price. Buy some arm, but watch that iron ore price carefully.
All right.
And then that's it for me. I mean, it looks like Asia's a bit higher this morning, so hopefully we'll continue from where we left off yesterday.
Okay, Anthea, a question here from Stephen. I just couldn't get to it yesterday. It was right here. hang on. Yeah, it was...
Man. I'll be back on Monday if you want to hold it till then.
No. Look, I'm just trying very hard to keep my mouth by a microphone while I stretch to a computer screen.
Oh, you know what else we didn't do?
It was a good question. Here it is. Please ask Anthea if there's been time to analyze the Foresight Solar Fund Limited finances. Dividends in pounds sound like a plan.
Yes, I spoke about this the other day, I think. Oh, excuse me. I spoke about this the other day. It's the
Stephen.
It's the new inward secondary listing. So it's a solar energy business that's listed in the UK, has assets in, I think the assets are in the UK as well, or somewhere in Europe. Excellent dividend play. I haven't had it, and they haven't missed a dividend payment yet. So you're looking at, I think it was 4.5% in pound dividend yield, which is very nice for South Africans. It's also a nice hedge. We've got until the 3rd of April, so I'm busy building a model around it, and we'll decide in the next week or two whether or not we're going to take up shares in the secondary listing. So I keep saying secondary listing because their primary listing is in the UK, and now they're having a secondary listing in South Africa, which is always nice. New shares to the JSE.
Well, that sounds like quite a prosperous one for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it'll be a nice income generator.
Okay, very nice.
All right, we'll see you on Monday then.
All right, Gareth, we'll be back. Everything back to normal, and we'll see you here in the studio.
Indeed. Have a good weekend, guys.
Very nice. Thanks, Anthony.
Bye, yeah.
All right, getting a couple more messages. This thing was frozen. And has it always been this far away? I know it's Friday, but seriously, I'm trying so hard to grab this stupid mouse. It's like my arms haven't just suddenly got shorter. So I got a message here saying the drought is driving Western Cape as crazy, even Helen. Another issue, of course, we started the show by talking about the colonialism and Helen Diller's comments. Another message here saying, whose fault is it the majority of the population doesn't have access to basic decent services? SA has some of the highest tax rates in the world. Okay, that's something to debate.
Well, they've never had access to these since day one. So it's everybody's fault.
Yeah, exactly. It's a collective societal thing, I guess. What are people whining about? Yes, not everyone are reaping the riches leached by colonialists, but said leeches also gave Africa the most popular religion of Christianity. And doesn't that teach you that Jesus is all you need? That's from Barry.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
We'll get to some more later because I have to now scroll down this thing. Someone says, listen to the cliffcentral.com team. The B team is a pretty good combination. You guys are perfect together. You hear that, Sia? We're perfect together. All of us, the three of us. Lucas with his thumbs up. Palessa behind the screen there. Oh, it's all happening. Right, so St. Patrick's Day. We'll know what that is, right?
Oh, is it today?
It's another excuse to drink far too much than your body can handle.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's any other week for most people. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they really turn it up for St. Patrick's Day, don't they?
Well, it's in their genes, really. When you are Irish, basically, you're going to get drunk. You're going to know what to do with a bottle of something. And they've just been very jolly around that all the time of their lives, really. So it gets you into St. Patrick's mood.
Uh-oh. I thought you said we weren't going to theme music today. But no, unless you're allowed to change your mind.
Of course I am. Of course I am. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to get Irish music. And I'm not talking about that crap they played in Titanic when Leo finally got stuck into Kate Winslet. That was Irish music, wasn't it? That folksy stuff.
Can you use a different word?
Sorry, Sia, I'm ad-libbing. Seriously, I'm
stuck into Kate Winslet.
You got into her business.
Okay, no, let's move past.
I don't mean that in a physical sense. They became entwined. Their lives never ever parted.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Perfect. I thought you meant the car steamed up window scene.
So we're going to start with some Irish playlisting, and then we're going to come back with a whole bunch of news stories with Sia Mubs and I. On the third hour today, Gareth's interview with Andre the Hilarious Hypnotist. He is hilarious, and he has hypnotized many, many people. But the story of this interview is a lot more beyond that as well. So we actually get to find out who Andre is, other than the guy just basically wagging a clock in front of your face and saying, look into my eyes and that kind of stuff. Cool, so catch you back after this. This is Irish music.
Is there a dubstep beat to this, maybe?
What's wrong with you two?
Oh, she may be weary. Oh, girl.
Yeah. Of course you don't. It's a beautiful song. Wearing that same old shaggy dress.
CliffCentral.com.